Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. I'm joined once again by the radiant Jodi Farina. She's the founder of Light Healing Therapies. With over 30 years of experience, Jodi weaves together a powerful combination of healing modalities, from soul healing and craniosacral therapy to womb healing and today's topic, light language. In this episode, we go deeper into what is light language, the truth that we all hold it within, and wisdom around its activation. Jodi works in the realm of the sacred divine feminine. So get ready for a deeply nourishing and mystical conversation that invites you to reconnect with your truest essence. Thanks for being here. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Jodi Farina. This is Mystical Sisterhood, and this is Maureen Spielman. And you may recognize Jodi's name and her voice from a recording we did about 2 months ago. It was episode 125, and it was called The Practice of Soul Healing and Awakening to Your Intuition. And we had a beginning conversation about Jodi's work, and then we had a conversation afterwards in which she suggested, hey, maybe I could come on and talk more deeply about light language and the sacred feminine gatherings and possibly some around plant medicine today. And I think that it was an immediate yes, because it is not something that I've covered. And so Jodi, welcome. I want to just welcome you back.
Thank you. And thank you for having me back.
Yes, of course. Okay. So Jodi, welcome back. And I guess, like, because it was the reason why we said, let's do part two is really a welcome to talk about light language. And I'm going to start at the beginning and say, what is it? How do you define it?
Yeah, kind of a loaded question, but yes, light language is my belief and my take on it is that it is languages that are within us, our ancient languages from different timelines, different lives that we have had individually, galactic places, the elemental realms. I believe it comes from all different spaces, places, dimensions. However, it's within us. It's what I believe to be our true soul and what our information and knowledge and intelligence is within that within us. So I do believe we carry light language within us that needs to be unlocked, as well as light codes. And it is all the same, yet may appear different. And then I also believe that we can have downloads of light codes, as well as light language downloads channeling in through us, though I feel like it is still all within us. So it's just another way to reactivate, if you will, of what maybe has been suppressed, you know, through lifetimes or maybe just this lifetime. And it's, we're in this time that we are unlocking these and allowing our true selves to come forth, if you will, if we're willing to go there, if we're willing to do our work and to listen and to allow. And all of that's with, of course, healing and, you know, allowing the time for ourselves to do our inner work. But yeah, it's just this beautiful knowledge and intelligence of what is already us.
Okay. And so it sounds to me too, it's very unique to us. It's very specific to us. And I'm thinking of those words that are sometimes used, and you may use them or use some of your own, but that we all are here with a divine blueprint. And if that's true, whatever language you use, would that be considered part the our light language as part of that actual divine blueprint?
I believe so. I believe the blueprint that we all carry in our field I believe that is 100% unique. We are all 100% unique. However, I do believe some of the light language that we carry, especially from different lifetimes, would be ones that we individually have from different lifetimes. I also believe there are the languages that we all have. Because if we go look at the greater, that we all come from the same, whatever your belief is, light, whatever that may be. So we are all one. So on some level, we do carry, all of us would carry some of the information that are similar or exact. And that I do believe we have our own individual codes and languages within us as well. So I kind of believe it's both ways.
When we're beginning to think about them or feel into them, are they not in words as we know them? And how do they appear and come across?
They're not in English words or even languages that exist now, except for one, and we can talk about that in a little while. They will come through either, there's different ways they can come through that I've seen. It could be through sound, so vocally, chanting, singing. It could be sounds even, the clicking. I know in one religion, they call it tongues, you know, so there's all these different sounds that can come through. And it could also come through where it is you're speaking a language, but there it's not the English language and cannot be translated into English terms is what this is my personal belief over the years. What it is when they come through in the words, out loud words and through us, or like if I'm working with a client, for example, when they come through, I always just say, just listen and don't try to interpret. Our ego minds are not set to that. It's listening with the heart space. And there, it's not that we can translate it word for word. It's the knowing and the feeling. And maybe it is like a feeling of like, wow, that really brought forth something for me to release, or this heaviness I felt released from me, or it could be my heart or my womb is really opening. So there may be like an understanding, which is more of a feeling or intuition versus a translation. So that's with the vocal aspect. I also, and I know many people do, write it like in the air, and I can draw it out in the air. I will draw out, I'll see someone's blueprint when I'm working with them one-on-one. And I can actually then go in, like I see it like as a map almost, like a blueprint of a house, if you will. And I go in and draw it out to help reactivate and unlock the codes within somebody. So there's also that form of just writing in the air, if you will. Then we can also write down, you know, write it on. I sometimes have written it down like on little tablets, like if there's a symbol or more than one symbol. And I've given it to the clients if that's meant to be. It's not always meant to be. Mm-hmm. And then something that they can kind of like visually then look at. And then that's another way of downloading it or reactivating. And then dancing and movement. I love to include some form of movement, not so much dance, but I'm open to it, but more of light movements with the hands or the body. And there's different movements that we can bring forth that are light language. And that's another form of reactivation and moving and bringing him in. So yeah, it's beautiful because it's all different ways and it can feel different, look different, be different in every single time, you know. And then working with clients, it's, you know, because it's about them. So it's going to sound different or look different or feel different, though there's always kind of that same feel. You know what I mean? Meaning like, I know we're going into that. I know we're going into the light language. Yeah, I find it all beautiful in whatever way it comes forth. And everyone is capable. You know, we all have this. So it's not like only someone can do this. We all can do it. And maybe it comes out in different ways that we mentioned for the singing versus the writing versus the dancing. It's different for everybody. And I always just say, just go with it. Whatever it is, just flow with it. The more we are open to it and the more we sit with it, then the more that will come forth if someone is choosing that, of course.
And I would imagine that when someone accesses it for the first time or the first few times, that it could be, it would make you cry, like a realization that like, wow, that was possible. And so do you see that reaction sometimes where it's almost like a coming home?
Absolutely, because it is part of our soul deeply. And it is that feeling of the remembering that we talked about, the knowing, the, oh my gosh, like there I am. I love that feeling and I love seeing that in others. the first time it comes through, let's say someone, I've had people approach me because they know I've done this work, that have been like, this is happening. Like they almost don't believe it when it's happening through them. I mean, okay. And so I'm like, no, you trust it, you go with it. And then I have had different moments. I'd be able to sit with people one-on-one and they're like, I will start. Like I will just start whatever's meant to come through for them. And then they'll be able to join in. So it's mm-hmm. that opening, it's that allowing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes someone just needs a little extra support or even the thing of like, is it real? That's a typical question. Is sure. this real? Am I making this up? You know, all very normal. Am I, whenever I've worked with someone in this case, it's all been yes. Like yes, yes, yes has always been my answer. Yes, it's real and believe and go with it. And the more one does, the more will continue for them.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just am, it delights me to learn about this. So for your own awakening around it, when did it first start to appear for you?
Yeah, this, I guess I don't remember the exact, you know, time. Yeah. I would guess 12, 13, 14 years ago. And it started coming out actually working with clients because I was already working with clients at that time energetically. And I started seeing these things on them. And I didn't understand them. I always just trust and I allow. But afterwards, I just started writing it out myself. It was more of like documentation. It wasn't about them. I mean, yes, it was in the moment, but the documentation was me trying to figure out what this means. I kind of just kind of kept a file of like images I kept seeing or the messages that I was hearing. And then they started explaining to me how to work with it. So then it was like more of a journaling process, but I didn't share it for some time. And I didn't even share it with some close friends because I was even like, is this real? And, you know, this goes back to a time where things are much more open now than they were.
Right.
And people have heard about it now. So you ask that question, it doesn't seem as, you know, as out there as it did back then. But I do remember I brought it to two of my friends. I pulled out this old vanilla file and I showed it to my friends that are in the healing field. And I just, and they're both artists. So I had a very hard time because I am like the stick pencil, you know, figures. Right. And so they were artists. I was really like, okay, I know like you're artists, but let me just show you. And they, I think that was like just validation I needed. Like we all at some level or sometime like validation. There's nothing wrong with that. And they were, of course, just so beautiful and supported and supportive and validated, you know, all of it. And were really blown away. You know, mm-hmm. they didn't judge my drawings. They just were blown away by what was happening and the energy. Right, yeah.
And now, you know, I feel like we're at a time where you're like, oh, I heard that. Okay, I'm going to get on, if you use Amazon, just order the book, you know, go to Barnes and Noble. But it, even then, there wasn't such a proliferation or just access, even though we did have the, you know, internet people were using. But I think that the conversation too, I want to ask more questions about it, but I think right now there's many, many people interested in this type of thing. And some have groups that they can talk to and friends and they can be like, oh yeah, yeah, that's real, you know, but other people are alone in it or they're just beginning to hear the conversations, but something about it draws them in. I find that really fascinating because I think when I asked you that broad general question, then you said something about galactic realm. I love reading about starseed, the different Pleiadians and Arcturians and these different galactic planets that I never, if you said 2 years ago, I didn't know anything about that. And that's true. And still saying that on the loudspeaker is not something that I do regularly, which is, but I think that that's changing. And I think that I just outed that. So, you know, here you go. But I'm not, I know I'm not alone either. For as many people who might say, you're a little crazy, there's people that are like, no, I want to have that conversation.
Yeah. And know that what's going on with them is real. I just met a woman 2 weeks ago from Montana, a wonderful woman. And it came forth, the light language. And afterwards with her, and she joined in automatically. It wasn't planned. It was just she did. Wow. And afterwards, she goes, you are the first person that I could do this with. Like I was questioning myself and I, you know, wasn't sure. And then we, you know, had this conversation going back and forth, you know, real conversation, but in light language. Yes. And it was lovely that they allowed that. And that's what she needed. and that she has no one else. And she explained that as well. So it is wonderful to know that there are people that if they hear this podcast, they know they can reach out to you or I as well. And that, yes, we're there to support whatever that means.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so when people start to experience it and have the experience with you and on their own too, what begins to happen for them? Is there, because it is part of that blueprint, does it serve to unlock or provide more light, or what do you feel that it's doing for an individual?
Yeah. So it's always different, you know, and sometimes it's about, you know, healing a heavy energy. That seems to be a lot of times when I have it coming through me, channeling through me, that they're helping to release that heavy energy, that trauma, possibly whatever that old is, right? And so in that case, it's like a releasing, and then we're able to help release that energy. So there's that way also. Also, it could be where it is an activation, an awakening. That's something that has been dormant in them, if you will. We're just opening it and bringing it forth to allow them to be more of who they are truly, you know, on a soul level. There's ways also that, you know, we're working in the field that we can, you know, shift things in our field that we're carrying that are no longer serving us. There is maybe that contract, you know, if you believe in that, or if anyone believes in the contract that we've had with somebody, maybe that's now outgrown, but it's still lingering. So light languages can really help with a variety of different things, as well as heal, you know, physical, emotional, and mental states of ourselves. So it really depends on where someone needs to go, what's going on with them, and it will appear different every time.
Yeah, that's such a neat concept, because I was just, when you just said the thing about mental, emotional, spiritual bodies, it feels like it's almost another one. But as humans, we have only known that these were our access points for, I'll just say the word healing right now, for integrating our past experiences. But are we moving into a time, wouldn't it be so cool if we are, which I believe we are, moving into a time where we're learning that there's these other very real things that, like you're saying, are very accessible, but they lend towards our healing. We have only just used a few so far to support people. And I think that's just so mind expanding to me.
It's truly endless. I don't believe that any of us can put a number on the light languages that exist out there and the light codes that exist out there. I really believe it's infinity. I really, really do. There's just no way of knowing. And all these years, there's always something different coming through and sounds different or is different, because every soul's different. I find it to be fascinating as well of how endless it really is and the access that we do have from it. And as you mentioned, I think really quickly was like Pleiadian and the different galaxies and all that. We can also tap into those planets, those stars, those beings, and bring forth the healing through them as well. That may also come through in the light language form or light codes as well. Yeah, it's really beautiful. And that's where they kind of appear different, I think. The codes look like sacred geometry. We all have that. We have access to that on the computer and look at those and the beautiful healing aspects of those, like the flower of life. Anyone can Google the flower of life and start healing with it. And I think that's amazing. So those are also forms of light codes, which is sacred geometry. And then there's the codes that come through that maybe 100% unique, because we are all unique. And so it is beautiful to also study other people's or look at other people's codes and other teachers that have brought codes through, going back to, like, you know, Reiki back a long time ago. It still exists, of course, but I kind of look back at Reiki being like, those were maybe some of the earlier documented codes. You know what I mean? Not that they weren't in caves and in other countries and in ancient times, they're everywhere. But I'm just speaking of things we've had documented as Americans or in that lineage. But no, they're everywhere, you know, and we were travel with the ancient pyramids and all of that. There's all the light codes, and they will appear different and new ones come forth. And I feel like that's limitless as well. We can gaze into a light code or sacred geometry and we can heal with it. It's another way of downloading, another way of accessing, working with our inner eye, our inner sight, opening up our pineal gland. So there are just so many different ways to access, I believe.
When we can access these parts of ourselves, it almost feels like it locks us into even like the blueprint of the universe, where I don't know like why this image of like a, not a Lego, because it's more of a two heads of a Lego coming together is how I'm seeing it. But like, we're just learning more about ourselves and that, but that's just in our body, but we're doing so much, such a bigger thing too, that's we're unaware of. I don't know. It's the dance with the universe, I guess I'm talking about.
I love that. The dance of the universe. Yeah. It's just one big web and we're all dancing in this web.
Yeah. The thing that I'm thinking about too, for the light codes or the light language, which is so beautiful, is that each of us, I've heard this said, with our voice, the tone of our voice, the resonance, the harmonics of it, they're very, it's very unique to us, but it's important too. Can you talk about that?
My belief is the voice is that it is our soul's voice, and it's the voice that we chose before we came here. And it's the piece that is like in the physical, so-called, in the physical here, that connects us so deeply and straightforward to where we come from, or whatever your belief is of where we come from. And so it's such a beautiful thing. And that is where I believe that it is so important to work with our voice, with singing, chanting, light language, even, you know, talking in this case, you know, and bringing forth whatever messages or languages are meant to be and to come forth now. Yeah. So it's just, I believe it is so deeply part of us and our soul. And it is what can bring us so quickly to that place that we have derived from.
I don't know if there's anything you want to say that we've kind of, obviously this is a smaller container to kind of talk about the light language, but is there anything else you want to say? I know that you weave it into ceremony as well. And mm-hmm. So that was another path that I wanted to go down. But is there anything just like general that's important to know about light language?
Sure. The one thing I would like to share is the one light language that is documented that I'm aware of is the Aramaic language. And so the Aramaic language has no dualities. It is the one that still exists and is still used in this time right now. It is incredibly beautiful. I started studying it only 2 years ago, give or take. And my teacher's in Spain. She lives in Spain. That was something else that just opened up a whole nother level for me. So it really is endless. What I love about that language and what I have been incorporating into some of the cacao ceremonies is, yes, light language, but then also kind of pulling in like a small piece of the Aramaic language, like a small mantra or small chant for us to go into. And so it's just beautiful. It's a timeline of, I'm not going to get religious by any means, it's a timeline of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. So it's that timeline of where this language comes from, if you will. It still exists, like I said, and is still used. But what I love about it is, well, all about all the healing and all the activations, but that I do love that it's still documented. So it's one of those mm-hmm. things that we can translate. And it's the only one that I'm really aware of that we can actually have the translation of. So we have like a prayer or a mantra or part of a song, and we have the translation, or we can translate it into English if we choose to. And I think that's a nice space for some people, because some people, you know, it is hard to get out of that ego mind, and they just want to know what it is. And so it's nice to have that as well. It's also nice to have just the fluid channeling and whatever is allowed. But when we're working on something specific, then that is when we can take in a piece of the Aramaic and be like, this is what I want to heal, or this is where I want to be, or I just want to be light right now. And you can kind of take these pieces and sing them and chant them. It's really, really beautiful. And the first time I heard it, you know, it was like that once again, like that newness, but like, oh my gosh, I've heard this. Mm-hmm. I know this. Like, I knew the language, though I couldn't tell you, like, I can't go to the country and speak it, but like, I know it. It was just so fun to have that feeling again. And then all that I have learned just keeps awakening and awakening and awakening and healing within me. And so it's just so beautiful. So if that resonates with people more than maybe the free flow, if you will, you know, there's always that avenue too.
With Aramaic, is it still spoken in some countries, or is it ancient language?
this is the one that is still spoken. I don't know exactly how many countries, or if it's just like one country, but right. I know it still exists. And so yeah. It is documented. And I can't claim I'm an expert on the language. I'm not. I have learned more of some of the letters, the meanings of the letters, the healing behind the letters, specific mantras, specific prayers, specific drumming rhythms, all going back to that time. And they're very powerful for me. And I know those that work with it find it extremely powerful. But, you know, we've had a lifetime. My feeling is we've had a lifetime during that time. And so it's just a reactivation of that. So I don't believe anyone needs to go any which way, or this is better than this. It's just another avenue that I have really enjoyed bringing in the last couple of years.
I feel like I'm sort of enamored right now how ancient texts and languages, or these things that seem just a part of our history that we may have looked back at books and happenings. There's so much going on right now, again, being offered on more of just a broader scale. If you're like, I love watching Greg Braden, and a few years ago when he talked about ancient text all being related, and you know, he studies just the nitty gritty of it. I would be like, I have no idea what he's talking about, but I feel, you know, a couple of years later, I'm like, oh, I want to know more about that. And I'm sure you see that all the time. The people who come to you just having these sparks of, oh, you know, I'm curious about that. And I think when we're curious about something, it's kind of an invitation to open the door then.
I agree. And it is lovely to see that. I also get the looks of like, what's happening? You know, like some of that. And I love those as well. I feel like when that happens, it's a seed that's been planted, not by me. I'm just the conduit here. But then the next thing you know, those are the people that are asking more questions. Yeah. You know, it's like something has been opened or awakened or planted. And then it grows. And then they're the ones that are like, wait, what about this when this happened? Or you said this, or this came through you. And it's really incredible. I love the process, whatever anyone's journey or process is, to be a part of any of it or to observe any of it. I absolutely love. And then going into like a cacao ceremony, for example, that I do with women and other groups, but mainly I have worked with women in cacao ceremonies and the divine feminine. And then I have been pulling in pieces of the light language. So that's something that I've started doing. I've done different like light language classes, that kind of thing. This is something where I'm pulling more into the plant medicine work now too. It's like, I love combining all these different things, meaning the energetics of it, you know, the light language of it, the plant medicine of it. So for me, this just feels like such a beautiful flow and things that have just come through me. And if I'm meant to share them and how, then I'm just allowing. The first few, I think, cacao ceremonies, I think there were a few people that, you know, you can see them. They were open. It's not about that. Very open, but questioning a little bit. But then after settling in or thinking about it or sitting with it, then they're the ones that are coming back and feeling. It's all about going back to the feeling of it, like feeling there's something here, even though I may not understand what this something is, there's something happening. Yeah. And then when you combine that with a beautiful medicine of, you know, ceremonial cacao, then you're bringing in the openness of the heart, which cacao will do, because the beautiful openness, it will allow us to be a little bit more relaxed. It can bring in a little bit more of like euphoria, because I add in blue lotus flowers. So it's just like, it just opens. And then I always add in some kind of energy. I call them energy exercises, but it's not like exercising. It's just small movements, which is also light language movements. I kind of pull in all avenues, and it just feels good right now. You know, we can do is what is meant to be now, and then we shift and change again.
Yeah. Well, the ceremonies sound absolutely beautiful. Big theme to me that I'm picking up on is this trust of self. You know, you are this person people can go to in very safe, feminine sacred space that you create, which we all know is just like so needed in the world right now. That's just such a vision for me, is to have our local healers and the people. And I see it. I mean, I'm seeing it all over for people wanting to have these kind of experiences. But just, you know, when you describe like someone sitting in a circle and being like, what is going on here? It's just like, what came to me is almost like the way we've been conditioned to think that some things are blasphemous. And, you know, and that's a very conditioned thought. Like, I think that even emerged in me, like, oh, wow, because it's, it goes back to the other thing I said, like, oh, well, what would someone think about it? But to me, why trust is coming up is like, oh, you can trust that, Maureen. You're safe. You're not, you want to be in safe spaces to talk about it and practice and learn and all the things, but you're safe and it's okay to trust that you love it and you want to go in that direction.
I love the word safe. I think that's really everything, especially with women. And, you know, we have been stripped of safety, you know, going generations. And that is something that is the most important to me, is someone feeling safe. Yeah. And that could be one-on-one or in ceremonies, whatever that means, is I first always check in with them, you know, mm-hmm. and make sure they feel safe and hold the container, mm-hmm. make sure the container is protected with lightness and all that that means. I also have this trust of the right women will always come together. There's always that. So yeah, we really do have to trust the greater, whatever that means to someone. And then we allow. And it always ends up that it's exactly what it's meant to be. It always does. Mm-hmm. And going back even another step, I had a lovely woman that I saw her as a client going back like 7 years ago. And it was a one time and that was fine. There's never any judgment. Everyone's in their own space and place. And I always honor everyone wherever they're at. And then she just came back maybe like 6 or 9 months ago for the first time. And what she said, and I thought, then I've seen other clients like this. What she said is that she just wasn't ready 7 years ago. Like she found that original email and then felt called now and then found me. And now she's ready. And it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with only her and her timing of being ready. And I love that story and I love her process. And I love the fact that she just trusted herself and where she was at and needed to wait till she could trust whatever that was or be more open. Timing is everything. You know, we're not already in the now for any one thing. And I've had other clients like that over the years as well. And so there's so much trust in that as well. And we just allow, that's all we can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm thinking that you hold that space and it's not like anyone's ahead of where the other person is. And yet I'm thinking you've probably gone through all the paces of trusting yourself more and more and more in the process. So then you become this beacon of, yeah, I'm going to hold that for you. Because I've been there, if that's true for you. Mm-hmm.
I feel that by going through it is the way, you know, that you know and then truly know how to hold space. Mm-hmm. There's all these trainings and, you know, Lord knows we all have them for those who put the time in. And that is important. Mm-hmm. But then it's really being there, going through those experiences, whatever that means, and going through those hard times, the traumas, the darknesses, the questioning, all of that. So I think I said in our last podcast that, like, you know, I've had all these different traumas, so many up at the age 23, but I honor all of them because I have an understanding of when anyone's in front of me. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's a greater understanding or knowing or trusting because I get it. I really get it. And though I may not know exactly the same exact thing, but you can know enough. Because you've been there on some level. And I think that's very true when it comes to any kind of plant medicines, any kind of ceremonies like that, just not one-on-one. But in those settings, you know, it's almost like if you go there and you've had maybe an experience that wasn't so great, the container wasn't safely held, I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. And I have experienced that where the container wasn't secure, wasn't safe. And then I experienced it, what it was like as a participant to be in that. I don't want anyone to go through that. And that is very challenging and very hard. And I got through it. I also honor that I went through it. I honor the fact that I was meant to. so that I now had the knowledge. You know, I think that's how our greatest lesson sometimes comes, and maybe a lot of them come in the hardest moments, you know, and the darkness, you know, that's when you get these lessons. And so, yeah, I have no like this happened or this happened. It's like, once you get through it, of course, and there's a healing, of course. But then once we're through it, it's really embracing those lessons on so many levels.
It feels so full of integrity. And then when we experience things that are feels like it's lacking in integrity, we then stand by that quality what we want to live by more and more.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say how important it becomes when you're creating the slowing down and the sacred reverence, and anyone who is on your table energetically or in your circle for a cacao ceremony or whatever it, or one-on-one during a plant ceremony, it's like, there's nothing greater than that sacred reverence.
I love it. I will say I love what I do, and I'm very aware that it's not me that does anything, the vessel, but I know how blessed I am, and I'm so grateful. And to me, this is of being of service. And this is my way that I can be of service. This is my soul work, definitely my mission. And I'm not saying I'm there yet. I don't believe I am. But I really believe this is how I am meant to be of service. So for me, it's everything. And I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for all of it, in all avenues and all people that I've crossed paths with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really do honor all of it. Thank you.
I love it. And yeah, thank you for being just someone who has stepped into, you know, put yourself out there and just learned and practiced and, you know, but believed and followed that in your intuition and knowing this is the right direction to be going, even when it was the wrong direction or the one that didn't make as much sense or last that long or whatever it is. But I love the example, the sharing the story. And of course, you know, the things that we've talked about today in terms of all the things that make up what you do. Business never seems to be the right word because it's your business, but you know, it's such sacred work. I'm like, is there another word I'm missing? So, you know, Jody, as we kind of round out the conversation about light language and, you know, its place, all the ways it can be delved into and explored, and then including plant medicine ceremony, you know, is there anything coming to mind that feels like you want to complete that circle or share or something that hasn't been said?
You know, what I'm hearing is that they are just very grateful to have this time to have this discussion and to put more awareness out there for all that come across this podcast. Hopefully that in itself starts to plant some more seeds within people and more openness. Start to research on their own or whatever that means, start to be more open on their own and working with it, however that is meant to be. But all I'm feeling right now and all I'm hearing right now is just like deep gratitude and deep gratitude for you, Maureen, for allowing this space and putting it out there, if you will.
Yeah. Thank you, Jody. Thank you for sharing just the messages you're getting. And I think it's planting a lot of seeds. I know it is. I often say like the podcast is about 2.5 years in, and parts of me can't believe that, but I know what's been created so far, including conversations. Now we've had two of them together, is that they extend on in perpetuity. They're lasting, they're accessible at any time. And so for whenever anyone's ready to come, they can come and listen and learn. Okay. Well, thanks for being here with us. We'll keep put your information in the show notes, Light Healing Therapies. Hopefully this won't be the last time.
Yes. Thank you so much, Maureen.
You're welcome. I'll see you. And thank you to the listener for being here. We'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.